Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Standing's with us every Monday and Friday at 12 noon on this show as our Washington Commanders insider. He writes a Substack report and column called Last Man Standing. He's got a podcast by the same name, and you can follow him on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. Let's start where we always start, your big takeaways from the 34-27 loss in Atlanta. Do we have Ben?
We do.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice if I could hear him.
It would. Give me one sec.
Yeah. Let's try to get Ben into a spot where it makes sense. By the way, one of the callers mentioned, and I didn't mention that. Yeah, there was a face mask on that first drive of the second half. Caden Ellis got away with a face mask on that second and 14 when Marcus Mariota unloaded it incomplete. And then it did look like Hughes interfered with Chris Moore on a 3rd and 7 on that drive before the Matt Gay 52-yard field goal that made it 17-13. I thought those were two missed calls. Do we have Ben? Okay, so go ahead. Give me your big thoughts about yesterday's loss in Atlanta.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, if we want to talk a certain reality of the world, right, they were missing a lot of players on offense. And, you know, that side of the ball was, you know, a little up and down. But I thought, you know, they competed. And, you know, to put up 27 points when you had, you know, all the pieces they were missing and who they had out there, I think that's pretty credible. But, of course, that's not really the story almost on any level, because all that could go away by next week. The story is what's going to continue, and that's the defense. And, you know, it's now 4 weeks into the season, and it's been two games where they've looked really good against two teams that were just, were disjointed at best and just weren't, you know, up to snuff. And the defense looked poor in two games where the opponents either, you know, were just, you know, fundamentally really good, and they have playmakers, as Atlanta certainly did yesterday. And, you know, we can all say it's early, and the team certainly did, and it's a justifiable point, of course, but it's not just four games. It's four games plus what we saw last year. And, you know, it's still becoming too much of they can't get stops when they have to. They're not making as big plays when they have to. And, you know, I think it's definitely concerning. And then there's, you know, there's some individual aspects of it that we can discuss as well, but I just think as a broad statement, you know, just the defense has just in the two games with opponents that you would say, okay, this is like a legitimate test, they haven't been there at all. And, you know, again, look, I think missing Will Harris was a legitimate thing. I think he was doing a lot for them back there in the secondary in terms of coverage and just, you know, communication and things like that. And, you know, Dietrich Wise, you know, another one they lost, and he's big for the run game. But, you know, this was the first also real running back they faced who could hit the perimeter. And obviously Bijan's what we argue with the best running back in football, but he torched them all day long, similar to how Saquon Barkley did and others did last year. So I think that's the part that's, distressing. Again, it's not that it's the season's over. They could go back and win in LA this weekend, all these things, but four games in, it's just too many signs of what we saw last year for me to be like, just brush it off. It's like, well, it was just a game, not a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the overarching takeaway is, you know, 839 yards and 61 points against the two teams they have faced that were capable offensively. And they're not even the best two teams they will face offensively. They still play teams like Detroit. You know, Kansas City's getting healthier and look great on offense. Dallas is the number one yardage offensive team in the league. The team they're going to face this week has offensive capability. And of course, I'm not even mentioning the Eagles, which come late in the season twice in the final 3 weeks. And that's why you got to be careful. As you and I have talked about together, and we've talked about individually, you know, taking the Giant and Raider game and extrapolating it at all about what this defense is. Now, I will say, I do think it has more talent up front, and I think it's better up front than it was last year. But on the back end, there seems to be major issues. And I would ask you, because I admittedly, I don't know what the answer is. If it's more coaching, scheme, play calling, or more talent execution by players. My guess is it's probably somewhere in the middle. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the question. You know, I'm sure you got the same thing in your Twitter timelines. You know, get rid of Joe Witt, make changes on that side of things. And it's always simple to say that, of course. And sometimes it's a simple decision that the organizations make. I'm not saying that's happening here. I just mean it's easier to fire the coach than the players. But yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to know exactly what's going on. I mean, you know, like. Look, like for example, like Bobby Wagner is a hell of a player, right? We all get that. The great instincts. Just last week, he had two sacks, you know, all that. Yeah. But when you get him, what you could see, you know, Atlanta's like trying to isolate him in coverage once with Kyle Pitts, once with Bijan Robinson, and like that's just not a fair fight. So what do you do? Bobby Wagner plays every snap for your defense. He's the signal caller. You know, he's the glue to the whole thing that connects the front and the back. What do you do? Take him off, but even if you do, who are you putting in? Jordan McGee didn't even play a snap this game. You know, to put out an extra defensive back, right? Let's say that's your plan. Well, that's what they tried to get away from this going into this year from last year when they played so much nickel. So again, I'm not putting it on him. I'm just saying that's one example as to I don't know what the answer is. And you know, there's also you know, Marshon Lattimore. You know, he's not living up to the hype of being. You know, a top end cornerback, especially right. One that you made the trade for, and you know the pass rush, you know, has had good moments this season, but you know, one sack yesterday for the most part. Michael Penix looked pretty comfortable back there. You know, where's that? We know they don't have necessarily elite talent up front, but they have, like you said, they have improved depth. But it, you know, that didn't translate yesterday, so. This isn't an excuse. It's kind of just to say, look, this level of where the football is, I'm just being honest, like I can't compete with what the actual football people know. So if they can't figure this out, it's hard, I think, for the rest of us to just be like, oh, fire this guy, bench that guy. But it does feel like something has to give.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, there are things we can identify as fans that are pretty obvious, like Bobby Wagner shouldn't be isolated in coverage against wide receivers, tight ends, or running backs that can catch the ball. I said at the beginning, it's exactly the same conversation we had about London Fletcher towards the end of his career. London was still unbelievably, you know, solid against the run, and when they sent him after a quarterback, but you saw teams searching for him when he was out there in coverage, and you're seeing that with Wagner. As far as Lattimore goes, he's struggled, but has he struggled because he's not playing more press? Should he be playing more press? Should they, you know, swap, you know, the picks or the motion? You know, these are things that are really hard to know for sure, but there seems like a few obvious ones. And yeah, I mean, going back 4 weeks, it was like this team's biggest mystery is, did they get any better on defense? Through four games, you might say that the talent up front is better, but the overall output isn't. And that means they need Jaden to be Superman a lot of these weeks, and he's missed the last two games. But they were able to win one, and Marcus played well. So let's move on to what's next with Jaden. A lot of the pregame reporting suggests that he is ready to go and will return against the Chargers Sunday. Is that what you're hearing?
I wouldn't say so much hearing, but it's just, you know, looking at the landscape. Again, the week before week three, he only got in a limited practice at the end of the week, and it was pretty clear that he wasn't really that close there. Whereas last week, the first 2 days were limited practices. We saw him on the field doing some work. He said he was fine, which, you know, is obviously, take that with a grain of salt when the player says that, but okay, he's saying that. At least it felt like there was a more of a possibility that he could, you know, get closer to that. So yeah, I think you would think that there would be a much stronger chance for him to be able to go this week now that they've given him that rest for the last 2 weeks. So I would think there's a pretty decent chance again this week. You know, if Wednesday or no later than Thursday he's practicing in full, then I think you can feel pretty good. If it's still limited, then it'll just be, you know, whatever decisions the doctors have been making the last couple of weeks as to why they've said he can't go.
Talking to Ben Standing, it looked like, unless you help me with more people, that John Baptiste was the only injury from yesterday's game. Is that accurate? And what kind of injury does he have?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As far as I know, that's the accurate deal. He has a pec injury. Sounds like it could be one that requires missing some games. Beyond that, you know, who's to say? You know, obviously John Allen last year was, in theory, a season-ending one, and he was out for several weeks but was able to return at the end of the year. So, you know, even if they say IR, we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, I mean, that would be just another depth play there. I mean, they did sign Preston Smith, as we know, a couple weeks ago. He's yet to play, which is reasonable considering, you know, he wasn't in a training camp or anything along those lines. But at least now they have him if, in fact, Baptiste is out for some time. So there's that. But, you know, that's, you know, how they – that other defensive end spot opposite Dorrance Armstrong, you know, how they manage that is – you know, going to be interesting. Jacob Martin is somebody that has stood out to the coaching staff, you know, since the summer. But he's, you know, he's not like a big run guy. He's more of a pass rush guy. I know Witt said he can set the edge, but he's just not physically a bigger guy. So, yeah, I mean, to lose another body, again, football injuries happen. They're not the only team, obviously. But, yeah, that would be tough, you know, to at a position where with a group that it's more about depth than the individuals, to lose anybody is you know, notable.
Just finishing up the injury talk, do you have any gut feel on Terry and then on Bates and Noah Brown for Sunday in LA?
Yeah, not a ton. I mean, the Bates and Brown part, you know, with these groin injuries, and there's a little bit more than just that. You know, it's always tricky when you, with these types of soft tissue injuries, you know, how, you know, it can linger, and it can become, you know, more problematic if you rush it. So we'll have to see. Unlike with Jaden, you know, they've done nothing practice wise the last couple of weeks. So it would be hard to sit here and say, boy, you feel pretty good about them. The Terry one is interesting. It's been kind of all over the map. You know, when you hear that he supposedly wasn't having surgery, meaning that was on the table, you think, oh, well, maybe he's going to be out a few weeks. There's just some discrepancy here. What's going on? But I've also heard he could be back this week. So, you know, again, it's hard to know. He wasn't at practice at all last week. And I talked about this maybe with you, but on my podcast for sure. Like, the whole thing last week was very odd, just the way the information was being communicated. And maybe I wouldn't think it was so odd, except that you know, we just had the summer that we had with him and having a contract dispute and all that. So I don't know what to make of,
that. Tell me what your gut tells you about why it was odd last week.
Well, I mean, like, there's no reason for the team to say anything, right? I mean, why, you know, as we have seen, they're not exactly loose lips over there. And then, you know, what's the point of saying that their guy could need, you know, that they're even debating surgery or like the talk of a second opinions? I know Dan Quinn said that's common, and that's fine. It just doesn't, you know, why is it being discussed unless, like, it wasn't like an obvious injury, right? It's not like, I mean, we knew he went out of the game, but it wasn't like he was like writhing on the ground in pain. So it's, you know, they could have said nothing other than he's missing practice and he's got it at, like, just like with Bates or Noah Brown, we're not hearing about them possibly discussing surgery or anything, right? And different injuries, I get that. But so then it's like, then it comes out that like he's getting a second opinion, very specifically this one surgeon who is, I guess, yep. If you go to this guy, it typically means, as often the case, like with like Dr. Andrews as well, things like that. If you're going to this guy, it probably means you're getting surgery, but now he's not getting surgery. I don't know. It just is like, why are we saying all these things and then not, what is the point of it other than to maybe say, hey, the guy is battling through something and he's going to play through it, even though, like, they're sort of hyping up that. I don't know. But this is a problem also when you have these contract issues. It now leads to the conspiracy theories a bit more, and that's where you start to get in some trouble.
No doubt. If he's under contract for 3 more years and there's no off-season drama, this is not even a thing. But we know that that's not the case, and we know that it was contentious, and we know that more likely than not, he and his agent probably aren't thrilled with the way it ended. But we'll leave it at that. Defense was obviously, you know, number one on the list. I actually believe Atlanta played very well offensively too. Their players, especially their star, Bijan Robinson, and they're very good. You know, true number one in Drake London was outstanding in the game, and Penix was great. But the defense was a problem. But I also, just for a second loss on the season, I get the Bates missing in Green Bay. Your two running backs on 14 carries averaged 7.5 yards per carry. I know for Chris Rodriguez that was one big chunk run. I'd like to see the running backs, especially in context with your defense can't get off the field. You've been doubled up in time of possession, in play count in the first half. Why do you think Cliff hesitates leaning on the run more?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's almost like there's a plan going into the year. This is what we want to do. And despite some of the obvious, you know, missing pieces, it's like he's trying to not change who they are, their identity. They're trying to just, you know, keep things going the same. So they did that. I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if they were averaging what they average on the ground, like you said, but you've got Terry out there, you've got, you know, along with Debo, you've got Noah Brown, but they don't have that. I mean, Chris Moore was in there for 70% of the offensive snaps yesterday and had 0 catches. You know, Luke McCaffrey got a touchdown. It was great, but, you know, I still think there's questions there. And Jalen Lane, you know, he was on the verge of having a much bigger day statistically than he did, but, you know, ultimately it didn't quite work out. There's no reason to lean into that group. We should be leaning into the thing that's working, like you said. And I mean, you know, Bill, you know, had some good runs. But it's also like, I also think they're just still trying to figure out what to do with the running back. I mean, I don't know if you saw the snaps yet. Rodriguez and Kroski Mara played the exact same number of snaps, and McNichols played one less. I mean, that is the definition of a committee of like,
I saw that. If the concern with the two younger backs, the better runners, in my opinion, and the guys that should be getting double-digit carries a game, and maybe one of them the large majority of double-digit carries, If the issue is you don't trust them in pass pro, you better coach them up quickly because they need to be on the field more and they need to touch the ball as runners more. I just think that that is a strength right now for this offense, especially with the receivers down, like you said, and they did not take advantage of having a bigger team than Atlanta in the trenches offensively and an opportunity to dominate, you know, time of possession and play count with more emphasis on the run. Of course, they probably have 15 reasons why I'm an idiot for saying that, but I just point to 14 carries, 7.5 yards per carry.
Yeah, no, I wrote about this, you know, once Eckler went out that, you know, in terms of specifically with Bill, that, hey, you know, maybe he isn't ready in certain areas and all that, but like, it doesn't matter right now. You don't have, in terms of playmaking, in terms of the ability, I mean, again, go back to what the whole point of sort of this offseason was. Find guys who could, you know, make chunk gains out of the backfield. That's part of the reason why they moved on from Brian Robinson. So, like, to then not lean into that more, again, I'm not saying, you know, the Bills should be getting 15 carries a game. But like you said, between he and Rodriguez, at least, maybe they could get a few more looks because, again, for where this team is right now, again, this, and this is before Terry McLaurin was out. Now it's just like, okay, where are you getting these opportunities? And, you know, it just feels like that would be something I would lean into. And also just I understand that these guys practice and it's the next man up. But when you're missing this many guys, at some point, like, it feels like this maybe should, like, dial back. I'm not saying that Cliff was, like, going nuts yesterday at all with his creativity with play calls, but sometimes it's like, hey, maybe we should just, like, what are the basics here? Let's run the football, you know, fewer moving parts, so to speak. And I know I'm being overly simplistic with the run game, but, you know, in general, and just focus on that, control the clock, you know, that this way, you know, we keep Atlanta, especially with their the way they were going with their playmakers, keep them off the field. You know, the defense is struggling, do that. But yeah, like you said, they didn't really do that. And, It is a little confusing, but again, I think it's maybe it's different if it's Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler out there as opposed to, you know, two guys.
Maybe, but I've seen enough of Rodriguez and now enough of Bill to know that they're talented runners. I think Kroski Merritt has real legit talent now that we've seen it in real games. And unfortunately, in four games, he's got 29 total carries, 172 yards. He's averaging 5.9 yards per touch. It's time to get him more touches. I'd say the same thing about Rodriguez. I think Rodriguez is solid, especially yesterday. You know, context is everything. I mean, score wasn't completely out of control until, you know, they got down 31-16. I think he – I really like Cliff. I love Cliff. I think he is creative. I think they do so many good things. But I think sometimes in game, you know, you got to feel it a little bit more. And they could have, it seemed to me, kept their defense off the field a little bit more by running it more. All right, what else do you have? What else is on your – you know, list of things that you wanted to talk about?
Well, just to your point, though, to lean back into that, you know, in week three against the Raiders, you know, what do they do? Obviously, they got, you know, the great kick return to help start that game. But the first four runs were all Chris Rodriguez and up the middle. And the point was to establish, hey, we're going to be physical today. You know, what did they do yesterday? The first play was the end around with Debo Samuel. Now, I don't know if that's because they're thinking Atlanta is looking for the Chris Rodriguez, so let's give him on the outside. I don't know. Then the next play, Mariota gets sacked, and all of a sudden, you know, you're in a hole and you're three and out, and Atlanta scores again. So, you know, again, it's too easy to just to say, well, if they, you know, run the ball to Chris Rodriguez, they don't fall behind by 10 points. I'm not saying that, but
yeah,
there is something to be said for what are we trying to accomplish here? And it just felt like that opening drive, it's like they were trying to accomplish something that just the week before they specifically were trying to do. And I don't know why you would have gone away from that when you were still without key pieces and missing even more. Like, you needed to establish that physicality and that we're going to, you know, be able to move the ball on the ground. And, you know, like you said, it felt like they, mentally they got away from it a little bit.
Yeah, look, the person listening that would push back would say, you do realize they're the number two rush offense in the league. They're number two in average yards per carry. And I would say, yeah, but they're 18th in rushing attempts. So why not, instead of being number two, being number one in the league and keeping your defense off the field a little bit more? But what do we know? The Green Bay game, I get it. You know, they probably thought it wasn't going to work anyway without Bates in the game. They weren't prepared with a Trent Scott to play, you know, sure, more of that, you know, jumbo sixth offensive lineman. They didn't play it a lot yesterday. They did early. But, yeah, look, questioning play calling is always a dicey thing. But I'd like to see both Rodriguez and Krosky Merritt get more carries, especially in a favorable matchup, which I thought they had yesterday to run the football. All right, thanks. Talk to you later.
Of course. Thanks, man. See you.
Ben Standig, everybody, at Ben Standig on X and on Twitter. We'll go around the NFL, another ridiculously entertaining slate of games. We'll try to hit the big ones when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.